Worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Again, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. I want you to listen to the wisdom that's reminding us of the importance of being a student of God's Word, one who reads God's Word each and every day. Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Father, once again, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor and the blessing it is for us to take time every day to open your word and spend time reading and meditating on and thinking on your word. Thank you for the blessing we have of being able to read your word, listen to it, and follow its wisdom. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Anoint us afresh with the spirit that would encourage us to spend much time in your word daily, and anoint us afresh with the spirit of obedience that we'd be faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and praise you for this blessing. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in. I want to remind you and encourage you to take time to go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. Go there and subscribe. You'll also find a number of very informative articles on the website and other information that you may find helpful and informative to you in other ways as well. Also, would like to remind you that we do have free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk. And of course, with the app, you can take Urban with you wherever you may go. Also, we invite you to our Facebook pages, The Hour of Intercession, and also Hour of Intercession Live, where you can tune in by way of Facebook as well. And we appreciate those of you that are tuning in by way of Afrika TV as well. Let me remind you too, again, as I've been sharing many times throughout the Christmas season, I've really been encouraging you to really make it your goal to take time to read through all of the Christmas narratives, that is the passages that specifically focus on the traditional Christmas story. And today we're focusing largely on that once again, and we're going to take time to read them through today. I want to remind you that in addition to the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the gifts given to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 2, there's a whole lot more treasure to be found in the Christmas narratives, that is, the Christmas stories. The term Christmas narrative is simply, it's just a fancy word for Christmas stories. And in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, we find in Scripture, these are what make up the traditional Christmas story. And there also, as you take time to read and meditate on them, you're going to learn some things about Christmas. You'll be edified, strengthened, and built up in your faith as well. So I hope you'll take time to do that. It's in these four chapters that we find from God's Word a treasury of grace, wisdom, salvation, and hope that make the wonderful and blessed story of Christmas. Now also keep in mind the Christmas story and the narratives that make up the Christmas story are simple and they're profound all at the same time. They're humble yet glorious and full of wonder. They're about normal people, yet filled with wonderful and supernatural events as well. Here in this story, God invades the planet Earth with his peace, his hope, and his gift of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we're hoping and encouraging you that you'll take the time during this Christmas season to consider a few suggestions for you and your family that can greatly bless your observance of Christmas. During the Christmas season, take time to read Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2 with your family. And when you're finished, read them again. And when you're finished, read them again. Spend time reading and meditating on God's Word again for the balance of the time between now and Christmas. And on the other side as well, I hope you'll take time to do that. Read it as an individual believer, but also read it with your family, especially take time to read it with your children. Parents, have your children take turns and ask each one to read, and you can read with them as well. It's good to you for you to read it to them, but also let them read it as well. Very often they'll get more out of it if they read it through themselves as well. So please, during the Christmas season, for the balance of Christmas season, make it a high priority to read through the Christmas narrative several times. It'll bless you, and it'll encourage you, and it'll bless your whole family as well. Now remember, you're busy, I'm busy, we're all busy. We all have very busy schedules, especially during the Christmas season. You know, we need to take time to read these passages, though. Remember, just like the wise men, life was busy for them, but they took time to go and find Jesus. Remember, life is always, always busy, especially during the Christmas season. And remember, life doesn't have a pause button. Yet if you'll take time to spend the time reading and meditating on these passages, they will bless you, they will encourage you, and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Matthew chapter 1. There's a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Ammon. Ammon was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers, born at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the Babylonian exile, Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiad. Abiad was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Akim. Akim was the father of Eliad. Eliad was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. And continuing with Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with Mary, with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I call my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah. Weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we read through the Christmas narratives today. We appreciate you tuning in. As always, we appreciate you listening. Hope that you're going to take time with your family to read through them between now and Christmas. Father, thank you, Lord, for every individual listening. Thank you for every family listening. And thank you for the opportunity for us to read through your word and learn more about who Jesus is and what he came to do. Lord, I pray that you move in the heart of every single listener. Help each person and their families grow closer to you, draw closer to you, and grow in their understanding of the need for us to recognize who Jesus is, the Savior of the whole world. Jesus, who came as the greatest gift that the world has ever received, and help us stir us, Father, to become much more faithful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, telling others that it's Jesus and through Jesus that they can be saved, and it's through Jesus that they can grow up and become strong followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening as we read today through the Christmas narratives. We'll be back after this break.
The Awakening. shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy, with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
I get it. Being a young single woman in your mid to late 20s can have its struggles. Every time you get on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, someone from your high school or college years has a boyfriend, engaged, married, or married with kids. You find yourself always being the bridesmaid and never the bride. Be of good cheer. Don't covet the idea of marriage to the point you're willing to settle for anyone. Remember, everyone has a calling, and your calling is your ministry, and who you marry can make or break it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, Paul tells us that if you are unmarried, care for the things concerning the Lord and how you may please Him. God's timing is perfect timing, and if it's in His will for you to marry, it will happen in His time. Till then, there's plenty of kingdom work that needs to get done. With the heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
Out of the corner of my eye, as I'm drinking my water, I have my head tipped back, trying to down my water. Okay, just want to take everybody there. I see this cockroach barreling towards my feet as I'm standing in my kitchen. So I spill water all over myself. I immediately start that two-step dance that you do because you don't want it to touch your feet, you know, and I'm like, well. And then I look down again and I realize he's putting purple grapes into a bag and he dropped one. And that's what was rolling towards my feet. And I said, don't do that, you know. And he said, and this is Will, y'all, my husband. He's so chill. He said, I lost one. Really? That's all you got for me? What are you, Forrest Gump now?
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're reading through the Christmas narratives, and as we do that, I want to encourage you, be sure and take the time between now and Christmas and even beyond to read through Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Take the time with your families as well, especially help your children. Allow them to read out loud portions of them and you read it with them, because they will learn some important things about Jesus and why he came as they read through them. And for many people, if they read all the way through them, it'll be the first time in their life they've read all the way through the Christmas narratives. Again, remember, narrative is just a fancy word for the word story, but Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 contains those stories. Before we pick up our reading, let me remind you once again, 10 excellent reasons to read God's word every day, and it'll bless you if you do. Number one, one reason why we should read God's Word daily is because it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. And also, a second reason to read the Word daily is because it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. Three, it empowers your prayer life. Number four, it sharpens your ability to hear the Holy Spirit more clearly in your life. A fifth reason to read God's Word daily is because it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Six, it helps you maintain your mental health. So if you don't read God's word for any other reason, but so you don't go crazy, that's always a good reason. A seventh reason to read the Word daily is because it increases God's anointing on every part of your life. Number eight, it increases your wisdom in every part of life. Number nine, it enhances your intellect and personality. And number 10, it pours grace, peace, and mercy and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. When Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." The angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel said, told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Mary responded, Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah, after his father. But Elizabeth said, No, his name is John. What? They exclaimed. There is no one in all your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, His name is John. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, What will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy, Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 80. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We're reading today through the Christmas narratives. And again, I want to remind and encourage you, be sure and take time to do that. Because remember, if you do, you'll learn things about Christmas, but also the true meaning of Christmas comes through powerfully in the Word of God. And remember this very important point. During the Christmas season, you find actually lots and lots of people are looking for Jesus. Well, you know, you can always find Jesus in his word, in the word of God. He is the word. And so as you take time to read it, not only can you find him, but you'll draw closer to him as you spend time with him one-on-one in the word of God. Let me go ahead and share with you at this point. We do want to share with you a Bible quiz question for you. And as I mentioned a few times, remember when you're talking about Bible quizzes, never use the word trivia. Because there's nothing trivial in the Word of God. There's no such thing as Bible trivia. Everything in God's Word is important. It's vibrant. It's full of life. It's full of blessing. So there's nothing trivial in all of the Word of God. Here's the Bible quiz question for today. And remember, if you'd like to receive a copy of the DVD movie Raggedy Bibles, we'd be glad to send it to you. Simply email me or text me the correct answer. The question for today is, name either the town where Jesus was born or the town where he was raised. So you can select one or the other or both answers if you like. But Either one will do. Name either the town where Jesus was born or the town where he was raised. These are two different towns listed and mentioned in the Christmas story. Again, name either the town where Jesus was born or the town where Jesus was raised. You can email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or you can text me at 662-321-5859. I'd like to remind you this Christmas season, if you haven't done so already in your gift giving, I want to encourage you to buy some gospel tracks, get hold of some gospel tracks, put a gospel track in every gift you give away. Because remember this, there are many people, some of your loved ones and relatives would be amongst them, that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And this Christmas could be the greatest Christmas of their life if they take the time to give their heart to Jesus Christ. And you may very well be the tool God uses to do just that. So place inside the gift box or the gift items that you give away a gospel tract. Or if you've received one of our Bible bookmarks that are also a double as a gospel tract is too, you can put those in them. But remember, make it your goal to make every gift a gift that carries the gift of redemption with it. So again, you may have a cousin, an uncle, a brother, a sister, or someone who just gets saved because you put that track in the gift. Hope you'll take time to do that. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we read through the Christmas narratives again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Thanks for being a part of our listening family.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Our country is suffering because of lack of leadership, division, and a disdain for godliness. Urban Family Talk exists to be a prophetic voice as we speak on matters of religion, family, and culture. We will not be silent on issues plaguing our communities today as we sound the alarm of truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
If you think your Christian walk is going to lead you down a straight path toward victory, Dr. Tony Evans says, think again. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When God is getting ready to move you to the next spiritual level toward your destiny, here it is, you won't like this, but I got to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God, things may get worse before they get better. In order to develop you, God will detour you. And I think most of us know most detours occur when construction is taking place. There's a construction crew on the road creating a detour. The reason why God creates detours is because he's got to do some construction in our lives first. He's got to chip away at the parts that don't fit where he's taking us. He has to chip away at the things we're not ready yet. And depending on how we respond to the detours tells us how long we're in the detours and how long we're going to be blocked from the destiny. So I got to tell you the truth. Things may get worse before they get better, because development is part of the process. See, we want the destiny. God wants to make sure you're ready for it. Because the worst thing you can have is to be somewhere God wants you to be and not be ready to be there. Because then you'll mess up the destiny.
Dr. Evans has an extensive collection of messages online, something to speak to any need. Browse our library today by visiting TonyEvans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in today. We're reading today through the Christmas narratives. And let me remind you, too, if you'd like to get a copy of the specific, it was a blog that was written entitled The Christmas Narratives that we put together, something that reminds you of the importance of taking the time to read through them, simply send it to our email, jparker@afa.net, and just say, I'd like to get a copy of the article on the Christmas narratives. We'd be glad to send that to you. Just send the request to the email again, jparker@afa.net, and we'd be glad to send it to you. Again, every family listening, be sure that you take time to read through them. And again, parents especially, take time with your children. Again, they'll have wonderful questions and encouraging comments as they read through these powerful and beautiful stories that tell about the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me remind you once again, we do have a Bible quiz question we're sharing with you. And if you'd like to get a copy of the DVD, our Raggedy Bibles, we'd be glad to drop it in the mail to you. Simply give a correct response. Again, be one of the first three persons that respond correctly to this question. Specifically, name either the town where Jesus was born or name the town where Jesus was raised. Both questions are answered in the Christmas stories. Again, name the town where Jesus was born or name the town where Jesus was raised. They're two different towns, both of them mentioned specifically in the Christmas story. So we pick up here with the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, a prophet who was also there in the temple, she was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first, because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Verses 1 through 52, Luke chapter 2. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're picking up now some Old Testament passages that are drawn into the Christmas story. This is Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And then another passage found in the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Again, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Again, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we've been sharing and reading through the Christmas narratives. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Now keep in mind, again, for those that will take the time to do that, you'll learn things about the Christmas story that you didn't know. But remember this, meditation is a very, very powerful and wonderful tool and weapon as well. When you take time to read through the Word of God all the way through a given passage, and then you read through it a second time, and you read through it a third time, and read through it a fourth time, some interesting dynamics are going on. Because remember, your mind often will tell you, "I've read it, I don't want to hear it anymore." That's what your mind will often tell you. But your spirit will say, "Keep digging, keep digging, keep going," because God has more treasure, more strength, more empowerment to be poured into your life as you read and meditate on it. In fact, your born-again spirit never gets tired of hearing the Word of God. Now, in your flesh, your mind sometimes gets tired, but keep in mind, lean always on and follow your spirit. And let your mind catch up, because remember, your mind will always benefit by following the leading of your spirit. Your spirit loves to read and meditate on God's Word, because remember, the Holy Spirit takes you deeper and deeper and deeper into God's Word. It will bless you, it'll edify you, it will strengthen you and build you up. Also keep in mind, when you read the Word of God, reading and meditating on God's Word is a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God. So it's a form of drawing closer to the Lord as well. And remember this, when you read God's Word, the Creator of the universe is talking to you. The Bible, the written Word of God, is God's microphone into your life. And keep in mind, when you read God's Word, you're not just reading and receiving information. God is pouring grace, peace, power, blessing, encouragement, vision, and direction into your mind, your heart and your life. You need that. I need that. We all need that. So one of the most productive habits in all of life is the habit of reading God's Word every single day. Remember, God does many things in your life as you spend time in His Word. God reaches through His Word and molds and shapes us and helps us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ when we read His Word. Hope that you'll take time again to go through the Christmas narratives this Christmas season and help your children to do the same and encourage others as well. Encourage family members, loved ones, co-workers, associates to read through them as well. And if you do that, some of the people hearing will do it, and they'll be tremendously blessed by taking the time to do that. Lord, once again, thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for every person listening, and thank you for the opportunity each of us will have to take time to read through all the Christmas stories during this Christmas season. Lord, help us to have ears to hear as you speak insight, words of insight, wisdom, encouragement, and counsel to us as we read your word. And Lord, help us to learn from the many witnesses of the Christmas story. Help us like the wise men, like the shepherds, like Hannah, like Simeon, like Mary and Joseph. Help us to live lives where through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do, our whole life is pointing people to Jesus Christ. Help us to be an obedient people, a faithful people who are listening to your word and hearing it each and every day. And Father, Lord, thank you for every parent listening, and anoint every parent with a spirit of grace that would encourage them to start the habit of reading your word daily, not only for themselves, but also start the habit of teaching and training their children to read the word of God out loud for them each and every day as well. Help us to know, Lord, that our children receive so much grace, blessing, light, and encouragement in their minds and their hearts as they simply read your word out loud to their dads and moms. Lord, help many families to start that habit this Christmas season and help them to keep right on going even when the Christmas season is over. Thank you for that blessing of being able to get into your word, not only reading the Christmas stories, but reading your word, period. Thank you for the blessing it is each and every day. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, thanks for listening in. Hope you were blessed and encouraged as we read through the Christmas narratives today. Hope you'll take time to go through them several times. And again, remember, parents, help your children read through them. Don't just read to them. Let them read as well, because it's going to bless and encourage them. And often they'll get a lot more if they read them out loud for you as well. Once again, that Bible quiz question for those that haven't responded. Give me the name of the town where Jesus was born or the name of the town where Jesus was raised. The names of both towns are mentioned in the Christmas story a number of times. So again, give me the name of the town where Jesus was born or the name of the town where Jesus was raised. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession and reading through the Christmas narratives, and hope you and your family have a very blessed and merry Christmas.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.